Dozens of cars from the early 1900s, curios, complete houses, a log cabin, tools, tractors, you name it. If it's been part of Fort Nelson's history, then you'll find it in the Fort Nelson Historical Society Museum in British Columbia, Canada. The area was shaped by the building of the Alaska Highway, and Marlon and Mavis Brown, curators of the museum, moved to the area soon after the highway was completed.
We didn't actually come up to Fort Nelson. We came up to a camp on the Alaska Highway in 1957. It was a job, actually. My husband was offered a job as a mechanic at an HME camp, which is what the camps were called, that dotted the Alaska Highway about every 50 miles, and there'd be about a five-family group of people in each of those camps. They had grader operators, an underbody, and a mechanic, and, of course, the foreman was there. And each of those camps had a big garage. They had housing for the people, and most of them had mess hall and living quarters for the men for in the summertime called the bunkhouse or the bullpen. And then there would be a big garage, and that's what brought us up here in 1957. At that time, we had one child who was only 9 months old at the time we came, and we were expecting our second baby. It was fine. We all had nice homes, and that's what brought us up onto the Alaska Highway, and we didn't move into Fort Nelson until a few years later.
And what were these camps doing along the Alaska Highway? What was their role?
Their role was to keep the highway open. The highway was a gravel road. They called it a highway, but it was basically a gravel mud road that stretched from Dawson Creek up to Fairbanks, Alaska. It was put through in less than 9 months, which is easy to remember, it's less than a pregnancy, by the American Army back in 1942, because when they'd always wanted to have an overland route to Alaska, actually, but there's never enough money until you're in war, and then you can do anything. And so then that was the catalyst for pushing this highway through from Dawson City, which was the end of the railhead, up to Fairbanks, Alaska.
And what was life like living there at that time?
I don't know, as far as I was concerned, life was just fine. We didn't go out much. You could have parties in the camp. We had a movie once a week, supplied by J. Arthur Rank, which was an English company. But you're just sort of busy. You're busy raising your children or doing housework and all of that. And the men were busy all day with their jobs. And then in the evening, quite often, you'd get together and visit. And some people played cards. It seemed like we never learned how, but other people did.
And how long did you stay doing that kind of a job?
We were there till we came up in 57. And in 1961, they built a service station. My husband and another fellow built a service station across the road from the HME camp. And so we moved over to the service station, and I lived then in a small little trailer with three kids, and the fourth one on the way. So it was a pretty, it was a little, pretty much like the Beverly Hillbillies, I'd say. We didn't have, in our little trailer, we didn't have running water. We did have electricity, but yes, there was no amenities.
And so what took you away from the trailer then and brought you here?
Well, by that time, our children were getting older. Thank God, I found that I am not a patient person teaching my own children correspondence, so I did that for a couple of years. Then we were very fortunate to have a lady who was really a teacher living in the HME camp, and she taught them for a year, and then she was going back to Fort St. John, and we decided actually the kids should be in a real school, and so I moved into town. We moved into a duplex, a one-bedroom duplex with I moved in with the four kids and two neighbor kids who also had to go to school. So there was six kids and myself in the duplex, but it was fine.
What was your husband doing?
He was still down at mile 245. He was still at the, we called it Prophet River Esso, and he stayed down there, and they continued to run the service station and cafe, and that kept them more than busy, 20 hours a day, I'd say. From the time they opened the service station, they were just always, always really busy then. And if they changed thousands and thousands and thousands of great big truck tires, when a truck would roll into the service station to stop for a meal or a coffee, the first thing they'd get out was to take their hammer out and smack all the big tires. And if they had a flat, they'd back up to the back door, and our men went to work. And it was hard work, beating the tires off of the rims and fixing them and putting them back. Sometimes they had to cook. They ran out of waitresses or cooks or something, and so sometimes they did everything. Cooked in the cafe, changed tires, served gas.
That's Mavis Brown from the Fort Nelson Historical Society Museum in British Columbia, Canada.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.